Tanya and Steve, number one in Newcastle with McDonald Jones, the Hunter's leading home builder.
She set out the moth club. He likes candles in the bathtub. She loves a ricotta solo. He lives a carabolo. We start to fool a dealer. The bloke and the Sheila. Their boss is always in despair because their meetings happen on air.
Tanya and Steve.
Live from Honeysuckle and across Newcastle and the Hunter. Celebrating 10 years.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome to Monday.
How did your lovely husband enjoy his Paddy's Day?
Yeah, he had a great day.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, had a brilliant day.
Good stuff.
Big, big weekend, in fact.
Yeah, nice.
You had a nice weekend?
Yeah, lots of, same. Bits and pieces and things like that.
Yeah.
Another driving lesson.
Yeah, good.
Every driving lesson.
Are you getting better?
I'm a little bit. Yeah, a little bit, but I must say, BJ really keeps a keen eye on it.
Good.
My reverse parking sucks.
How's he going? Is he nervous or is he going well, BJ?
No. As I keep saying to Tanya, he's definitely got his mother's, what's the word, Tanya? His rule kind of.
He's a rule follower.
Yeah.
I guess that's it, yeah. And so he drives very well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's excellent.
What did you point out on that photo I took, Tanya? Oh, that's right.
Hands at 10 and 2.
Oh, perfect. Both hands on the wheel.
Yeah. I said, mate, roll the window down. Put your elbow out. Cool. He goes, father. Father, that's on how one drives.
Well, I think it's a good thing that he's being a stickler at this early stage of his career.
I agree.
Yeah.
I was chucking donuts in the field going, well, let's get my license.
I was driving for about 2 years before I had a license. But that's what you did in Raymond Terrace.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wow.
And we always make the mistake of telling our children these stories and they go, well, you did.
Exactly. I remember walking into a car yard at Sandgate with $800 and the guy taking pity on me going, mate, there's nothing here for $800. And I went, but that's all I've got. And he went, well, you can have that. And it was this bomb of a car.
I love that.
And he said, license? And I went, I don't have one yet. And he went, oh, okay. Here, look, here. He gave me the car anyway.
Just gave me the keys.
Gave me the keys.
And you drove it home.
Literally, drove it home without a license.
And as we finish all of these conversations, did we die?
Well, exactly. Almost. A couple of times, actually, Steve.
Almost? Did we? No.
Still standing here.
No.
Exactly.
Oh, for
see,
God's
there's
sake.
Where our lives parallel slide door in reverse.
Yeah.
My first car was $5,000. Imagine that in 1989, right?
What was it?
A Subaru.
Yep.
Right. So, but still, I can't even imagine. What's that, 20 grand?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, this is when I was on the toilet. And now flip it.
Wow.
Now I'm older, you'll always buy a better car than me because I like buying crap boxes. So you got me back in the end, mate.
That car had no floor. Like there was, you could see the road.
Oh, just a bit of rust
in
the floor?
Yeah, I couldn't get it past for Reggio when it came time, so I had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
$800, not well spent.
I always had my mate Brett to have the 10-year car. He was like, hey, come on, I'll take it. Can I get in the passenger door? No, you have to come around and climb over me.
Absolutely.
That's hilarious.
Climb over you? Do you think this is a bit dangerous? Yeah, I'd be right, mate. At one stage, and I'm not lying, at one stage, his accelerator, on the foot accelerator, broke.
Yeah.
And he rigged up a hand wire going out the window into the bonnet and cop cars had drive past.
Yeah, I bet that got passed in Queensland. Yep. We had stricter rules here in New South Wales.
It still do, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure in Queensland you can still get a phone worthy.
And did you still get in the car with this guy, even though he had that thing rigged up to his accelerator?
I had to. He was the only one not drunk. Even had designated drivers.
I know.
There you go.
I know. The designated driver. What was your first car, Ryan?
My first car was a 1984 Ford Laser, like one of those bubble Ford Lasers. Yeah. Do you remember it?
Yeah.
And I bought it off my brother. The head gasket blew within 6 months.
Never buy a car in family, ever. What a rookie error.
I still say he owes me $4,000.
See? See?
For that piece of crap.
40-year car, like now.
Yeah,
would it still be around, do you reckon?
I haven't seen a Ford Laser, like the shape.
The bubble shape. Yeah.
I'm struggling to remember a bubble Laser. I know a Mazda that looked like a bubble car, but not the Laser.
And anyway. It had like a thing on the similar to that kind of thing.
Okay, we're looking at photos now, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's bringing up photos.
Did you notice, Tanya, that both of us just sat back and thought, let him go for a bit.
I know.
Just let him go. Yeah. Well, he's got his messy I haven't had much sleep hair. And he's Googling photos and showing them to the listener world.
He's trying still. Steve.
Morning, everyone.
Yeah, I'm still trying.
No, we've moved on, Ryze.
There it is.
There it is.
That shape there. Yeah. The crappy old car.
Well, yeah. We better play a song before Ryze shows us some photos of Surf Fest.
Oh, no, I've got time. it's dangerous, Steve. It's kind of magic. On the line.
Caitlyn Jenner. Okay, she's probably one of the world's most famous trans women.
I was reading that last night.
Yeah.
I literally said hooray out loud.
So did I. Because Caitlyn Jenner came out overnight in an interview with the Daily Telegraph in the UK, and she really kind of went to town, I guess, on trans women competing in female sports or women's sports, saying, look, I went through hormone therapy.
Mm.
And I'm someone who went through a complete change, and I can still hit a golf ball 280 yards, which is 256 metres.
You know what? It confirmed what we've all been saying too.
Yeah.
Really, didn't it?
Yeah. Because so she's basically saying, I respect women, trans women.
Mm.
I hope they're happy, but there is still no place for them in female sport.
Yep.
And for someone of Caitlyn Jenner's status, as a former Olympian and also as a high-profile trans woman, I thought, hallelujah, because we can say it and then we can get the hate. But for someone in her world to come out and say, nah, look, I think it needs to be female from birth because the hormone therapy only goes so far, I just thought, yay.
She will still get as loads of hate.
Oh, she already has got loads of hate.
That's just how it rolls. But you're right. You know, she can say, hey, I'm there.
Yeah. Because I've long thought about the fact that often when we see athletes transition, they're a mediocre male athlete transitioning and suddenly women winning women's sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I hate that. And I'm glad she's come out. However, I will say this, Caitlyn Jenner, is it at time you gave back the Woman of the Year award you got in 2015, if this is now what you're saying?
Well,
if you're taking away opportunities from women, maybe you shouldn't have accepted that award as Woman of the Year in the US in 2015.
I agree. It's just, you know, and it's weird when you see women supporting or whatever, and it's like, no, hang on, these are blokes. Good point on the award, but, you know.
But it's a conversation that will now, it'll explode again because of A, who she is, and B, what she says. But it opens up a conversation.
And it shows you the world we live in now because everyone's too scared to, and there's loads of hate, and it takes that before anyone could do any action on it.
I'm all for a third category of competition when it comes to sport.
Yeah.
I really am.
Because
I look at your kids, Ryze, because, you know, my son is grown now. Yours isn't into sport, Steve. So I look at yours who are, and I think, I would hate your little girls to live in a world where opportunities are taken from them.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're having to compete against
unfair advantage.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm. Physical advantage, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
It's hard enough to get sponsorships for women's sport.
Mm. Well,
scholarships,
that too.
All that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And you don't want to, you know, imagine them at younger ages looking, go, well, there's no point because I'll just get some guy, you know, I know. So, you know, give them hope again.
Yeah.
Although, why don't we just completely degenderize it? Just everyone go for it.
Well.
And we'll even have a redhead one.
Yeah, well, there you go. That could be the third category.
Yeah.
Everybody.
But even like when you're narrowing it down to trans, it's like, okay, won't that open up, you know, who's who or what or what sort type, where are you at? I don't know. It's all so hard, isn't it?
Mm. I still think you could easily have a third category.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you're born a male, you compete in male. If you're born a female, you compete in female. And if you're in the process of transitioning, that's the third category potentially.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Interesting sponsorships and things like that coming with all of that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Too, because we've got about two other versions of Olympics as well, haven't we? Or sport in general. You know, like it. Look, I totally agree. I'm not disagreeing with you guys. It's just so complicated now.
Mm. But you rarely do you see it going the other way. You know, female born transitioning to male wanting to compete.
No.
You know,
we don't.
So, because in my brain,
100% the male chromosome and everything, all built on physicality, is a stronger side.
Mm.
And we've been yelling at it for years. So, it's funny you're reading that. I was reading it last night going, thank you.
Mm.
But do you reckon we would get a third?
Oh, I don't know. It's just an option. But at this point, we're still struggling to make the rules up around the two.
Yeah.
This was all born out of the, you know, professional women's golf deciding that they've changed their eligibility rules. Yeah. So you have to be born female now.
There's too much money in golf and tennis. That'll just create major dramas.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? You can say you can still hit a ball like that. It's like, yeah, but you watch the other ones that they've won. Well, they can still run like that, can't they? You know, it's blatantly obvious.
Exactly.
Yeah. So will we get a third?
Step in the right direction anyway.
Yeah, I don't think anytime soon, because they're still, our major sports are still grappling with their own rules and regulations.
True. Yep.
So, anyway.
Watch this space.
Somebody actually said something.
It's tenure and Steve. Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up louder,
Tanya and Steve's.
You won't get this.
You won't get this.
You always do. You just got to phone up and be a part of it. Steve will give us a... Is it a fact?
It's a fact today. In fact, you know what? It's even going off what we were talking about earlier with sport in general.
Okay. Well, it's a fact. You've just got to find the missing element to it. So give us a call if you want to play.
1-333-53. That's the phone number.
Got a great prize, but you've got to get on the phone and give us a ring to be a part of it. So call us now.
Look, it's not giving away any clues. It's giving clues to the question. But we often throw around the idea of Olympic events we could have or some new ones they've got, you know. So, yeah, the question's around that area.
Okay.
When we were talking about sport only moments ago.
All right.
1-333-53. Call us right now. Family Pass, the Hunter Valley Wildlife Park. That's what we're giving away today.
Well, Brad is at Cessnock. G'day, Bradley.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Have a listen.
All right, Brad. Between 1912 and 1948, the International Sporting Committee had Olympics. You could do this as an event. It's blank, obviously, but they actually had blank as an Olympic event. Someone woke up. But 1912 and 1948, between those years, they had it as an Olympic event.
I'll just throw it. Cooking.
Not as far off as you think.
Right.
But no. I say not as far off because it might be a bit left.
Okay. Bomb making? Given the time in history that it was.
World War I to World War II.
Very popular during World War II.
Was that it?
No.
Oh. I was waiting on an answer.
Oppenheimer won that one.
Gus. Is it Maitland? G'day, Gus.
G'day, how's it
going? Good, have a listen.
Between 1912 and 1948, blank was an Olympic event. Okay. Gus.
What do you think, Gus?
I've got no idea. You've got me.
Okay.
Thank you, Gus. We'll go to Amy at Head and Greeter now. G'day, Amy.
Morning.
Listen to this, Amy.
Between 1912 and 1948, Amy, blank was an Olympic event for... Like a legit Olympic event. You'd win a gold medal for it.
Was it art?
Yes.
Was it?
Art.
What, painting? Yes.
Yeah.
Well done, Amy.
How bizarre. God, we've been through some incarnations of what denotes an Olympic sport, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Breakdancing is now, isn't it? Yeah. Breakdancing Olympic sport these days.
Did you Google it, Amy, or was it
in the... You know what? I kind of feel bad because I saw it pop up on one of those weird Facebook pages once.
Oh, there you go. It's stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you've got the family pass to go off to Hunter Valley Wildlife Park, just 30 minutes from Newcastle, obviously. Enjoy.
Good on you, Amy.
Thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome.
I wonder if they had a starting gun.
Well,
go.
Did you have a look at which countries won?
Nah.
Okay, because I reckon France and Italy might have been in there at that period of time.
Yeah. Well, no, I saw some of your artwork from a couple of weeks ago, mate. I would have sent you over there as Australian representative. A bit of tenure Van Gogh.
It's so subjective. How the hell did they give a gold for that?
I know.
True.
Isn't it?
I say comedy and art are so subjective because it's about taste.
Of course.
But seriously, don't you love it when you go to an art gallery and you go, nah, because you want to impress people. That bloody Picasso's terrific. That is terrific.
Terrific stuff.
You know what I mean? When you actually just to try and join in on... You look at some crap piece of art and go, that's amazing. God's sake, I've got a plate of Campbell's soup hanging in my house, too.
That was the weirdest period of time.
Yes. Modern art.
Yeah.
Bloody love it.
Andy Warhol must be laughing, going, they're still putting cans of soup on their walls.
Look at Steve down there. I've got some soap powder too. Yeah, there's lots of little headlines popping around, team. We were talking about it when we were over the weekend, but this one's still from Friday. A total of 256 kilo worth of cocaine blocks have been discovered on New South Wales beaches since December. Okay, it's barely March.
Yeah.
250 kilo.
I know.
That's a lot.
And the Australian Criminal Intelligence Commission released their drug findings for 2023 on Friday as well.
Mm.
And what they found is that alcohol is at a record low consumption. Drugs, particularly methamphetamine, is at its highest user forever.
Yeah.
So methamphetamine is the number one drug that's gone through the roof,
yep,
costing Australians $10.5 billion a year.
Wow.
Next in line is cocaine.
Yeah.
But it drops so dramatically. I guess the price has a lot to do with that because it's down to $1.3 billion.
Mm.
But still the most commonly used drug amongst Australian illicit drug users is pot.
Oh, okay.
So yep, it's still the most, you know, by record numbers.
Oh, yep, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and you kind of, you know, you've grown up and you're used to that and you're not shocked. Or maybe occasionally you're a bit shocked going, oh, really? I wouldn't have thought that person smoked pot.
Yeah.
Right? But you're not as shocked.
Yeah.
When you hear of someone in either your circle or a bit broader doing meth or coke, you go, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
You're actually quite surprised because there's no real pinpoint demographic or anything on any of them, is there?
No.
And we do tend to throw meth into the world of, you know, the downtrodden, so to speak, don't we? And but it's not that world anymore. Yeah.
So addictive as well. That's what the problem is, isn't it? Well, meth is so addictive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I still don't know. Like, I hear stories, like, in a business sense, of people doing cocaine.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I still don't know anyone in my circle that actually does regular coke or ice or whatever it is.
Mm.
I just don't know anyone like that.
No.
Or they do and they hide it. I don't know.
Keeping it quiet.
It's probably B.
Yeah.
Because I'm a bit the same, but it's probably B. Certainly no you hear of, you know, in not your tight circle, but just other, you know, like, or a manager or or a successful business person. And it's like, oh, I don't know where they find the energy. And they just look and laugh at you.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, what? And they go, you're joking, aren't you?
Yeah.
Or I'm the person looking and laughing, going, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry, I wasn't asking for a roll call, okay?
Jerry's just giving us the name of a few people.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
And they're the ones I'm talking about. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like, what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Or, yeah. And I tend to notice it as well.
Mm.
I don't know why, but it sticks out at me, you know. But the meth, I wouldn't have a clue. Like you, coke, yep.
Mm.
No people, no problems. But not meth.
No, same.
And I don't think anyone would tell you because it's embarrassing.
Yeah,
because it's not considered, to use that term, a rock star.
Cool. Yeah.
You know, meth sounds where we put it.
Mm. I find it interesting where the Crime Commission actually get the stats from, because I thought when I started reading the report, well, how do they know? Do they just do random phone calls and say, do you take illicit drugs and what do you do?
Yeah.
But it's all done through sewage testing.
Yeah.
That's how they know that the rates...
Because no one will confess.
Yeah, that's how they know the rates of alcohol consumption is down and other drugs are up. It's all about sewage testing.
Wow.
And the regionals, the coke has gone through the roof in regional cities and centres like our own.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Which begs the question, like what we're talking about, and I don't know whether people would be happy to ring up and tell us anonymously, but have you surprised in your circle that there are coke users, mainly coke users?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, was this a person that used to drink alcohol and now that's gone by the wayside because this is what the stats are telling us, that coke is up and alcohol is down.
Yeah, and meth as well, you know, if you even know that it's that, because I think we identify meth with that person running across us, crossing,
no
you know,
teeth.
School, no teeth, and,
yep,
and sores all over their face.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case anymore, is it?
Yeah, well, see, to me it still is. That's why I'm so surprised by these figures. So you're telling me there are people, like, dropping their kids off and going to work and functioning, and they're crystal meth users.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around that.
No.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 133353, you can remain anonymous. That is our phone number, 133353.
Yeah.
It's weird how it gets started, too. You wonder, again, when we're talking about in different, like, you know, call it the burbs, whatever it is. Okay, where was your first time going, I might have a go at this? And then, of course, of the addiction, right, as you said, is what where it becomes the problem. But even if, like, where does that come in?
Yeah.
You know, like, in that world. Coke, yeah, well, you know, that's everywhere. It's right. everywhere. You just see it. You just, you know, you, two guys go off to a toilet when you're out. Yeah. You're not powdering their nose. Well, they are powdering their noses, actually. For the first time, it's legit. So they might have to bring that back and just call it the powder room. It's in a toilet.
Yeah, I see that all the time.
All the time. Any pub you go to.
Yeah.
Friday night.
A couple of people in
Wednesday
the same
night,
cubicle.
Thursday night.
I used to think it was sexual relations, but now I know that it might be. That
it's no good.
they're doing other stuff.
That's true. It's I don't know about the girls' toilets, mate. When you're at the boys' toilets and two boys come out of your cubicle, it's like you've been kissing.
Yeah.
It's just so common.
Yeah.
You know, it's
I'm going to ask all my friends now.
Oh, they'll tell you, T, because luckily they know there'll be no judgment.
Yeah, no judgment at all.
No judgment. I don't care what people do.
No,
I'm just really curious that you want to spend your money doing that.
Most of it's embarrassed. You know? Most people are a bit embarrassed about it, and so that's why they don't talk about
it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Probably,
I can think of better ways to spend the money, though.
Oh, definitely.
You know?
It's not cheap.
Absolutely. What a waste.
Good attitude, Tanya.
That's right. You'll keep all your teeth and not get sores.
Yes, you will.
I'm lucky I've got ADHD. I'm on legal drugs.
It's Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud because Tanya and
Steve is Triple M breakfast. Unlike yourself, Tanya, and your husband, of course, yesterday was the day where many people claimed some sort of Irish heritage.
They sure did. St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
And I looked at the stats and not. What do you think the percentage of Australians with Irish heritage is?
On the day or normally?
No, just what is the heritage? This was from the census in 2021.
Well, look, you know, lots of convicts, lots of all of that. So I don't know. I'll just say 20%.
Yeah, I would have thought it would be higher, but the number of Australians that identify with Irish heritage is only 9.5%.
I thought it would have been definitely higher.
So did I. Right.
Can you send the government some of those photos of your party yesterday? At the pub?
Yeah, it was great. Actually, we went to the Northern Star and they had a great lineup of bands all day.
Yeah,
Everyone was dressed up. Awesome. From the really young to the not so young. It was just brilliant.
It's funny, isn't it? No, again, the best thing is it falling on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, usually it's a midweek thing, which and makes it harder to get to.
Yeah.
So I think it was, well celebrated yesterday.
Sadly, a lot of them were complaining because last year it was a Friday.
I know.
Would have been nice to have a Saturday this year.
Yeah.
But because of the leap year, we didn't.
Yes.
It was a Sunday. But isn't it interesting that you could still buy all the paraphernalia?
Yeah.
You could buy the oversized Guinness hats and, you know, green shamrocks on everyone's faces, etc. There were flags down Beaumont Street and other pubs. But, and it did have, and I know Luke Burner said it earlier, but we feel more free to celebrate St. Patrick's Day as a national holiday than we do our own Australia Day.
Absolutely.
It's weird.
Oh, yeah. You know, like
sad.
This year, a lot of it I was in hospital, so I was kind of getting glimpses of it. But this year, was it Coles and Woolies didn't even sell
paraphernalia? They didn't.
Yeah.
So I was only getting glimpses. But yeah, all of that, you know, it's like now we've got supermarkets dictating our politics.
It was awful, Steve, because you were in hospital.
Mm.
There was just no mention, no celebration.
Even in the lead up, we didn't even say.
Yeah.
Australia Day's coming up. Happy Australia Day, everyone.
Yeah.
It was so weird. Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure you could dig back into Irish history and find something, you know, like, that is sad, isn't it?
Very much so, but glaring, given that it was only 2 months ago that we were trying to recognise Australia Day. And if we could get back to a national day like yesterday and make it fun and make it a party and make it a celebration to
love
the Australian
country that we live in now.
Yes.
Yes.
Rather than... Yeah.
It had been a historical guess. I totally agree with you.
It'd be lovely.
It would be amazing, wouldn't it? Because we used to.
I know.
And it was such a big day.
I know.
And it's kind of gone by the wayside as well.
It has.
For whatever the reasons, it's not about arguing about the reasons. It's about arguing, let's fix it.
Yeah.
Let's fix it. But how's that going to happen?
A day of celebration for the now.
Yes.
There's so much sadness in back then. We know that.
Yes.
And there's still inequality today. I get that. But it'd be lovely to have a day like yesterday for the Aussies.
Yeah,
for every single one of us.
Because you see that, and, you know, that whole St. Pat thing, it is, it's just about being Irish. It's just about, you know, loving everything Irish, which is what we need to do about this country.
Yeah.
It's plenty to like.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
Yeah. Is Michael calling in sick today for work, or is he going to...
No, I think he's already at work, actually.
Oh, what a legend.
Tough as nails, well over done, bloody Mike. Irish.
Matty Croker scores...
Castle Knights, Matty Croker.
Hello, Matt.
Good morning.
Oh, my heart was in my mouth. With 90 seconds to go, we were winning.
I know. Those type of games that take years off your life, don't they?
Horrible.
We went through a few of them last year. They're never any fun. And, yeah, to get beat is, pretty disappointing.
Here's a question for you. Because you just said how many last year?
We played in three. Okay. Manly, Penrith,
and the
Raiders.
Of the current game, there seems to be a lot.
Mm.
I put it to the coach. Shouldn't everyone be practicing drop kicks?
The whole team.
Mate, if you give everyone a kicking licence, it just opens up a massive can of worms.
I'm going to argue. Because so often we all sit here as punters watching it going, oh no, he just got tackled and he's the only one that can kick the ball.
I'll go tell Daniel Safidi he can kick a field goal on the weekend. Leo Thompson can kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I think it comes back from his rugby union days. So.
But that'll be one of those classics where he does it and scores, he's a hero, and the coach will go, never do that again.
Yeah, exactly. You crank at him.
So, it was very close, obviously. Were there improvements that you could see that need to be made?
Yeah, I think definitely we completed at a higher rate, which was a lot better. It was a very tough game to sort of sit back and watch. I obviously didn't play. I played reserve grade. But, I mean, they made a lot of errors in the first half, and I thought we probably should have capitalised a little bit more rather than being just two tries up going into the break. But still... being up by that much going into half time, you should be able to put it away. It was just a 10-minute period after half time where it was just, I'm not too sure what happened. I haven't really spoken to the boys enough, but watching the game, it was just, they just caught wind and they had momentum. And in this day and age, the game's so hard to try and wrangle back momentum because the game is so fast. And even, especially playing up there in Townsville when it's hot and, I mean, the conditions aren't on your side. It just looked like they had too much running. They obviously would have got a rocket at half time, and they come out of the gates flying, and I think that's what put us under a lot of pressure.
I think with the modern game too, far more than ever before, we notice that one mistake, one drop ball, could completely change the game.
That's enough about Kalen. About Kalen dropping that.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's about 10 of them. But I think that's they've got to stop again. The field goal, and they've got to stop blonding and bleaching their hair because I think it's the head things they put on.
No, but you're right, Steve.
Hurting their heads.
One error can be really, really crucial. And I mean, you never want to make them, and sometimes they just happen. And KP can be forgiven; he's done enough for this club.
Yeah.
But
God, yeah.
But just it sort of touches on what I was mentioning before about how important momentum is. And and you drop a ball, and you give a team a couple sets down on your own line, it takes your gas tank away, and it fills theirs right back up. So, I mean, it's so important to have ball control, and not just completion errors. Or defensive errors are a big thing as well. Mm. You know, staying in our system and not letting little half breaks, which lead to quick play the balls. And, I mean, that's sort of how the field goal happened, didn't it? It just got a little bit quick there, and Chad Townsend got it on the run, and he kicked it pretty well.
Yeah.
Got Melbourne at home. What day is it?
Well, it's Sunday, 6:15. I was just asking you off air, Matt. I mean, why? But you were explaining why.
I think that's the reason. I could have completely been making that up.
No, but
I think before daylight savings, they play him later in the day, just in case of the heat. But, yeah, Melbourne, well, if you want to talk about another crazy game, they had a pretty wild one on the weekend with win on the buzzer. So they're 2-0, and they'll be coming up here wanting to get some revenge, I reckon, because we beat them at home at the back end of the season last year in a pretty good performance. So. Yeah, they'll be good. It looks like they'll probably get Cameron Munster and a couple other big names back.
Goody.
So but look, all our focus is into that game Sunday. Over back at home, we owe the fans a good performance because we didn't turn one out in round one. So,
yeah,
excited for it, and hopefully I can be back there playing in the
team.
How'd
you go on reserve grade, mate? The coach, you're going to get back in the side. What's going on?
We come second on the weekend. We didn't have a good game. We We got beat by St. George down in Wollongong.
Never mind the team. How'd you go?
Oh, I was all right. I've got for a full game. My jaw pulled up sweet, so I didn't end up injured, which was good.
Yeah.
Look, if I have to keep biding my way through reserve grade, I will, but my goal is to get back into the first grade team, and that's what I'm working towards.
Good stuff.
I love your turn of phrase. We came second on the
weekend. It's two horse race.
I love that.
That's what my old man used to say to me.
That's a good way of looking at it.
We actually had a better performance in New South Wales Cup than we did last week as well. So
good.
As long as we're building every week and seeing improvements.
And your jaw's holding out.
Yeah, held up good, which is all fine.
Yeah.
I do like New South Wales Cup a little bit more than when they were doing the under-23s and all that sort of crap. But remember, reserve grade team. You'd literally, mate, you wouldn't remember this, mate, but a 40-year-old memory would be running out. It's first graders, wouldn't they?
Back in the day.
Yeah. Well, we had
cigarette hanging out of their mouth.
We had an old boy, Ryan Stigg. He played on the weekend. I was thinking, when did Ryan Stigg play? And I looked it up and he played 14 games in 2011. And I was looking around at some of the other boys going, what were you doing then? And they said, just finished in year three.
So
but
true.
But all love to Stiggy. He's a good man.
He's still kicking, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's still playing. Yeah, he's going good. He's a good lad, Stiggy. And
his health's good?
Yeah, he is. He is. So
what is he, 57?
There's
nothing wrong with that.
Would he be about 30?
He's 34, I think.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. God.
Excuse me, Stiggy, if you're listening.
Isn't that young?
I was going to say, listen to us.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's so old.
Last week we were praising people being 50.
Now
we're putting them down.
My favourite line, was Cameron, who played hooker a lot. Smith, rather, right?
Yes,
Cameron Smith, right?
Oh, just the greatest of all time. Glad you forgot him.
Yeah, forgot his name. That's how quick it happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, greatest of all time, blah, 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 right? And one of them commentating, they were talking age.
Yeah.
And he retired at about 37,
I think.
But he said, that helped me get through it. Fatty Vaughton said, oh, come on, mate, you played your career in a dinner suit. Which is a compliment, but it sounds like he never got tackled.
Yeah. Well, look, at home against the Storm, Sunday afternoon, evening,
afternoon.
But get out there and support the boys. It's going to be a great game against the Storm.
Can't wait.
Having said that, worst thing that can happen is we can come second.
And speaking of New South Wales Cup, I think they're on beforehand as
well. Perfect.
So if you do want to get down there early, that they're taking on the North Sydney Bears.
Amazing. Yeah,
good stuff. So,
does Stiggy have to have a toilet break?
He goes out in his walker, I think.
There's Matty Croker. Tanya and Steve, this is Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud and clear, because Tanya and Steve is Triple M breakfast.
Pray tell.
Talking to my brother who lives in Bali over the weekend, right? Of course, because I'm rubbing into him about the parasite. Maybe you want to come visit me next time.
Yes.
Anyway, but he was saying it was a few days ago they had Nyepi, right? Which is a religious day of complete silence. Now, my brain just went silent as in.
Do they call it Yappy?
Nyepi. If you Nyepi. You'd have to do it quick, I know. It's probably Nyepi. Not exact.
N-Y-E-P-I. Nyepi. Right.
And it's a religious day of silence, right?
Mm.
But my brain just went, okay, so if you're religious and, you just have a day of silence, oh, no.
You have to.
No planes fly, nothing.
Yep. Mm.
And my immediate brain just laughed hysterical at us being that silent as a country. Impossible.
Mm.
Wouldn't happen.
No.
We'd go mad being silent all day.
Well,
got to talk.
Did anything happen? Because I saw that vision of the two tourists on the beach.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to even go to the beach.
No. Yeah, they were like, they went into the, respect the rules of the country because these two people were wandering down aimlessly. Yeah, that was there. They'll probably get a fine.
Right.
But it's Bali, so it would have been on the spot.
Yeah.
Cash.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But just the thought of that, that's impossible to have here, isn't it?
Mm.
Imagine, now we'll stop planes for the day.
I know.
What?
Yeah.
We don't think like that.
No.
Do we?
I know. There's many a religious...
Business has to keep rolling.
Yeah. There's many a religious festival that I look at and go, wow, I wonder how we would go as a country.
Mm.
And I know there's plenty of Muslims here in Australia doing Ramadan at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
But, for the, for us who didn't grow up with that kind of, I don't even know what to call it.
Let's be honest, Catholics struggle not to eat meat for one day.
but you can't eat or drink between sun up and sundown.
Yes.
That's incredible.
It is. Yeah.
But it's what you get used to, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what you're raised on and it is a thing, and in part of your belief. It's just like that couldn't happen here.
I mean, I know we're not raised on it, we don't have the religion, but I'm just saying, imagine any of us not talking for a day.
Yeah.
Not going outside. Mm. I mean, there's COVID, lockdown.
Sure.
But it's just, I can't fathom it.
Mm.
That, you know, not a plane will fly, not a car will drive, not a bike, nothing.
Mm.
Literally ghost town for a day is quite phenomenal for a country, yeah. Small as it is.
Do you know, it's weird though, after all these years and after Australia's very close relationship with Bali and, yeah, we've had friends go for decades. This is the first year I've ever heard of Nyepi.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know they had it.
Well,
did
funny
you know?
Say that.
Yeah, I've been there when it's happened.
So it's weird. So it's that dead quiet, right?
Yeah, it's super quiet. You don't leave your resort. You don't leave your hotel. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the restaurant was still, like, open just to be able to
feed people.
But it was a completely different vibe. Everyone wasn't...
You just have to write down your order.
Exactly. So it wasn't, like, really strict inside their resort.
Yeah.
But we did not leave the resort all day.
Wow. And
I know. It's incredible. Yep. And I'm like you, T, right? I only found out when my driver was taking me to the airport home.
This time?
Yes, this is the last time.
How come?
Because of the intense traffic. I was like, it's getting worse, isn't it? And he went, yeah. I look forward to one day a year. And that was and then he explained it to me, and I still didn't get a handle on just how quiet. But interesting, you were there, right? Because my brother literally was like, yeah, Netflix day.
Yeah.
Okay. Like,
that's how
Netflix
we got talking
day.
About it.
Yeah, okay.
He's like, yeah, no, I'm not going anywhere today because of yuppie, whatever it said.
Mm.
But it does, yeah, just the thought of a whole country doing something, there's no way we could do that.
Mm.
I mean, we couldn't even stay indoors in COVID.
We couldn't.
We can't even celebrate Australia Day.
Oh, well. Wow.
Exactly.
There you go.
All get on the one page for a day off.
There you go.
Anyway.
No. anyway, another story. It's Ted, you're in Steve. Newcastle Triple M, JR's Spin on Sport. You're going to hear that next. And it's Spin on Sport. Surfest has been run and won for another year, and while the surfers are sleeping off Sunday night celebrations, organiser Warren Smith is already up bright and early the day after. I spoke to him early this morning. Warren doesn't get a sleep in.
Oh, not many of us do, thanks, JR. Always too much to do, yeah, especially in these 4 days where we bump out.
So that's all packed up by Thursday, you reckon?
Yeah, I'm hoping to be out by Thursday, weather permitting. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done. The crew are already working. It's very important to get out of there and minimise the inconvenience to the residents. But we've had a lot of fun over the last few weeks in at Merriweather Beach.
This year's winners were Joel Vaughan and Ellie Harrison. We had Merriweather's Morgan Siblick, who was surfing for the world title just a few years ago, beaten in the semis. We had Newey's Philippa Anderson and Sarah Baum, who's surfing for South Africa in the Olympics, both knocked out before the quarters. Is that because the depth of the sport is getting stronger, or did they just have off days?
Oh, no, depth of the sport's getting stronger. And speaking with Glenn Elliott from Surfing Australia, it's a lot more practice on aerial manoeuvres, which are high-scoring manoeuvres. So, yeah, the depth's very strong in Australia, and we're going to see more and more of those names as they progress through to the World Tour.
Coming close to 40 years on from the inaugural Surfest, Warren, do you look on it with a sense of pride every year about Mark Occhialupo's son was surfing this week? It's almost the third generation of surfers from when Surfest started coming through.
Yeah, definitely. I take a lot of pride in that. I take more pride in seeing, like, second and third generation of our workers. To bring together about 64, maybe 72 people that come together each year to put this on. A lot of people take their holidays now to do that, and now we've got their grandchildren working on the event. So that's the one bit I take an extreme amount of pride in, seeing these people come together for Newcastle and the Hunter region.
Yeah, we say volunteering's a dying art, not just volunteering, taking holidays so you can volunteer, and their early starts and long days at Surfest, so it's a great crew that keep it humming every year, powered on a lot of Blue Door coffee.
Yeah.
That's why you don't have parties at home anymore. It's the packing up after.
Too much hassle.
Thanks, JR.
On you, JR. There's JR's Spin on Sport at 7:39. We hear JR's Spin on Sport thanks to WorkLocker, 25% off workwear for a limited time. Check them out today, WorkLocker, Warners Bay or Morisset.
This is so sweet, isn't it? With JR was just talking about Surfest, and Risey's just sent us some photographs of his kids on the beach yesterday doing something I never thought we'd ever see again, getting an old-fashioned autograph.
Yep.
Well, funny you're saying that, T, because I saw it very recently.
Did you?
Yes, at a school tuck shop.
Oh. You guys yes. giving out the autograph. Exactly.
You know why, though? Because they handed kids autograph cards, right? What do I do with this? Just go and get those two to sign it.
But you know what I mean? Mm. When we're doing it all, they'll get us to sign a hat or whatever. Yeah. I go, okay.
Why?
I thought the autograph was dead in the water.
Same.
Well, I didn't even think my kids would know, like... So yesterday, all Stella wanted to do yesterday was go and try and get Morgan Sibley's autograph because Stella loves Morgan Sibley.
And did she?
Yep, she did. So, got him after the semi-final, just after he lost.
Yeah, good time.
And he was so, like, I could overhear. He was so lovely and so, like, warm with all his fans and stuff on the beach.
The Hollywood stars will constantly say now they miss the autograph because now it's selfies.
Oh, it's constant selfies. That's why I say yes. It's so sweet to see them, you know, please sign this, please sign that.
Yeah.
There was not one selfie, like, of kids with phones or anything on the beach with the surfers, and they all were just getting, there would have been 40 or 50 kids wow. after every heat just running down, getting their shirt signed, getting their hat signed.
It usually takes a couple to get the ball rolling, have you noticed?
Yeah, definitely.
And then it opens the floodgates.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Can we throw it out?
Yeah.
Have your kids been, like, hassling someone for an autograph of late?
Yeah, 133353, because it was something we've talked about in the past. You guys used to have an autograph book where you used to, like, get, you know, people that you admired getting their autographs and things like that. But it's been dead in the water for a long time, I thought.
I see now, too, actually, even last night, watching one where... Noel Gallagher Oasis getting off a bus.
Yeah. You know,
and there's 17 people sitting there waiting for an autograph. But it's to sell on eBay. Oh. It's, you know, they're adults. And it's like a little a plate for a guitar. Mm. And they whack it on a guitar and go, guitar signed by Noel Gallagher. Okay. Right? Anyway, so he stopped. And also Foo Fighter boy stopped too. His name's escaped me because I'm tired.
Dave Grohl.
He's like, no more. Because you guys just flogged that. You know, you don't want my autograph. You're just flogging it online. And they just get a little plate, you know, under the string plate.
Yeah.
They get that. They go, sign that. They put it on the guitar and go, sign guitar. And
I didn't even think about that.
And that's why they've stopped, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Not all.
No.
But for wonder where our signature on the team. Where drum skin.
Well, can you recall the last autograph you hunted? Yeah. Who was it? And what have you done with it?
133353. We'd love to talk to you right now. We're talking autographs this morning.
Pretty sure I saw a Tanya Wilkes signed recorder on eBay over the weekend.
It was going for a good... Was that $35?
Oh, that'd be silly, Ryan.
Heidi is at Redhead. You've got an autograph of late, Heidi?
Oh, my grandkids do at the footy every time. Oh. And they always try and chase Kale and Ponga and, yeah. So there's heaps of kids at the football lined up ready for autographs and adults.
It's back.
Yeah, wow. Okay, and what are they getting signed? Is it Knights merchandise?
Yeah, so they've, my little granddaughter and grandson wear their footy jumpers that are all signed and,
Oh, that's so sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Again, I keep saying it's back. Did it ever go away? Did I just miss
it? Probably didn't. You just were not in that world.
Yeah, yeah.
Karen's at East Maitland.
Hey, how you going?
Very well. Who's got what signed?
I've got my photo of Rob Thomas and me signed a couple of weeks ago.
Karen,
hang on,
I'm going to say let it go.
Is that stalker Karen?
Yes.
Karen.
This is stalker Karen.
I didn't actually stalk. I just hung around out the back and he actually just walked out and came up to me.
Tell it to the judge, Karen.
On Friday you said stalk Karen. So.
Tell it to the judge.
Oh, what are you going to do with that Rob Thomas autograph? What, like, do you just display
it? I've just got it tucked away.
Yeah, you just heard me. You're going to whack it on a guitar plate.
It's a great idea.
Andrew's at Aberglass. And what have you got signed? By whom, Andrew?
I've got John Farnham's, not his autobiography, but a biography that he had done signed. And I waited from 6 a.m. till about midday at Westfield Parramatta on concrete to get it.
Andrew, did he write anything or just signature?
No. He said to Andrew, all the best, John Farnham. And, yeah, I saw him do it, so it's literally his.
Oh, that's so good.
Mm.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's the trick.
Can you get a tattoo?
Oh, okay. Yeah? I've heard of that.
Yeah, you know, his signature tattooed on you.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be my first one, so I've got to get over the fear of getting a tattoo, but yeah.
You're building up to it.
Andrew, just don't be stupid. Just put it on your neck. Nowhere silly.
Good on you, Andrew.
I love this, though. Andrew, what are you scared of? Are you scared of the pain?
Yeah, but I married a blood taker, so you would think I'd be used to needles.
It might be just having something to do with it, though, Andrew.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, no, blood takers, mate. You know what it's like? My daughter's a nurse. They see a vein and they get excited.
Yeah. Oh, they do. They literally do.
I know.
Thanks, Andrew. Well
done,
Andrew.
The other thing on it, too, Paul McCartney will always, if he's going to sign, will always write to and name.
Oh, wow.
Right.
You won't be able to sell that.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So that's so he doesn't not sign, but he always, what's your name? And he puts that there as well.
Can you remember the first one you ever got? An autograph?
I'm trying to think if I got ever.
Jeez, I had a full-on autograph book.
So did I.
Yeah.
I had Mark Holden's signature. I had Galapagos Duck.
I was just about... Do you beat me, Tenya?
Galapagos Duck.
You beat me to Galapagos Duck.
Yeah, they were one of my prized signatures.
Imagine even now how many people are going, who is she talking about?
I was about 8 years old, and I think they were all in their 80s at the time.
Yeah.
But they were jazz musicians.
Oh.
So, yeah, Galapagos Duck.
Oh, I used to have some Galapagos Duck in the system, but I don't have it. Sorry, Steve. I can't find it.
What's wrong with Triple M? What is wrong with Triple M, mate?
I know.
Jeez, they haven't got that in the system. Yeah. Let's get back to Mark Holden. Where was Mark Holden for you to get said autograph?
It was my 10th birthday.
Thank God it wasn't Idol.
Yeah.
It was my 10th birthday.
Okay.
And he was in the Vineyards. So, yeah, I got his signature as well.
Awesome.
Oh. Yeah.
Have you still got it?
Still
got a book?
Probably.
Yeah, to my dearest friend, Tanya.
Yeah,
yeah.
Probably not.
I'm seriously struggling to try and remember if I got an autograph. My mum got me an autograph once, as in Jill Mum, birth mum, from Russell Morris.
Okay.
Because I do like...
Was he in hospital?
No.
Oh, okay. Because she was a nurse.
Oh, occasionally she went out too. No, but, he had a real thing and a couple of the big songs.
Yeah.
But it was on a napkin, and Mum goes, "I got something for you." And I went, "What?
Well, a paper napkin?"
Yeah, like when you're at dinner. Yeah, paper napkin.
Yeah.
And I got really excited. She goes, "It's in the car." Okay, cool. And she came in, and went, "Oh, okay.
Oh, thanks for that."
To Steve, kind regards, Russell Morris.
Oh, yeah. It's not the same when someone else gets you an autograph, is
no.
it? When you haven't had the experience.
It didn't have no.
Nah.
I'm pretty sure I recognise the handwriting.
It's Triple M.
Question without notice.
Fire away.
Have you given any thought as to where you would like your mortal remains to end up?
You know what, Tanya?
What?
Recently, yes.
Oh, sure you have. Everything you've been through.
It's good because we're just doing a bit of investigating, Steve, just so...
Well, I can assure you, you'll both be the first to know.
Good, thank you.
Why do you ask?
Well, if you're going to plan on, shuffling off this mortal coil within the next 15 years, you'll be okay. But if you plan on living beyond 2039, I don't know what the hell we're going to do with you.
Why?
Not enough room.
No.
Hang on, now it's just narrowed down to me.
Sandgate Cemetery, I was reading an article on the weekend, are going to run out of space by 2039.
Ah.
So.
Whack me on top of someone.
Doesn't matter, does it?
Can I see a photo first?
So they're going through the process at the moment of, applying for expansion. But 2039, if they don't get that tick box on the expansion, there'll be no room.
Well, there's no sweat for me then, is there? 2039, you're kidding. I'm looking forward to 2026. I'll be high-fiving.
Stop it. It's only 15 years away.
Only?
Only 15 years away.
Oh, my God, that's exhausting hearing that.
Where are they going to go? Over the top of the rail line, are they? Well, they've got more room there, do they?
There's other corners that they could possibly expand into.
Perfect. Good to know.
But
I'm going to knock down my house and turn it into a graveyard.
I wonder whether we'll ever take on... I went to a place, I think it was in Austria once, a little village called Hallstatt. And you have to get there via train, but everybody is buried vertically. Oh. So there's no resting in peace.
Oh.
You're exhausted. You're going to stand up for eternity. And I remember looking at it going, that's just not fair.
Imagine
bum off all your life and you're in the eternal life standing up.
You're sitting there, you're dead, and you're going, oh, great, now I'm going to get varicose veins.
And that's the reason they did it, because of lack of space.
Yes.
So you're cutting down, of course, if you're going the other way.
Well, of course.
Like, vertically.
Yeah. So I'm just wondering whether we would entertain that idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Well, it does save space.
It does. Should we dig up Sandgate Cemetery and...
No,
keep those bodies laid.
Yeah.
And then,
I thought they did do that.
What?
you know.
Put them that way.
Reuse.
After, but I think it's after a long time. Is it like 99 years or something?
I'm not sure, but yeah.
Well, I hope it's not in our in a generational lifetime. That's a bit awful.
I think you'll know, though, when you turn up to the funeral and go, what's that really deep hole?
Yeah, where Mum and Dad used to be.
But,
running out of room in Sandgate.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just wanted to put it on your calendar.
Is there any other? I mean, I know there's that little one at Moorpool. I mean, there's plenty. But that's what I'm wondering.
There's other ones.
But Sandgate's the biggie, we know.
Sandgate. Every time we drove past it as a kid, Sandgate. The dead center of Newcastle. Thanks, Dad. I've heard you say that one before.
I know.
Yeah, no.
Every dad said the same.
I've told you. No, not my dad. No, my dad would drive past it. Any funeral, you know. Really does frustrate me. They won't let me get buried there, son. Why not, Dad? Not dead yet.
So dad
jokes. So many dad jokes.
But yeah, I know. So, okay, running out of room when?
2039.
Safe as hell.
Unpredictable weather impacts water supplies. Thanks for making smart water choices. From Hunter Water. On the line.
Oh, just a quickie, because we were talking about a Friday, but Charlie's Run for Kids crew, probably you saw them. I know I saw them a couple of times over there. But at the end of the day, ending up at Dudley in a great cause. But just when you see what they've done, and they've raised 100+ grand.
Mm.
It's just, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's why I look at the Carrington cricket team and say, lift your game with your meat raffle. I mean, it's like, $100,000, it's just fantastic.
They did a great job. Were you there? You said you usually go.
We normally go, but we went into Surf House yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But it was. I saw photos and videos, and it was pumping. Massive. As it always does, Leighton Oval,
Well, congratulations everybody involved.
Yeah.
Must be proud of yourselves. And look, the only other thing I'm looking at is there's a movement in the UK to give pet owners the same rights as people with children. So you know how you can take paternity leave and maternity leave for your children. They say they want paternity leave in the UK.
You mean when your dog's having pups?
Yeah, well, a range of things. Take time off to care for a sick pet.
Right.
So it would come under carer's leave. Time off to grieve for a pet that's passed. Time off for vet appointments. And even if your pet does give birth, then maybe you could be there for a day or two to assist.
That's not going to work for you, mate. You know, it took you 3 years to grieve your dog.
I know.
But you know what? And unless you're an dog lover. Animal lover, but dogs, particularly in our world, I know that people, if your dog dies, a dog and I go, oh man, I know, it's a family member. People who aren't.
No, they don't get it.
All right, get on with it.
Yeah. But I often wonder how far you allow those reins, because we're talking about dogs. You could extend that to cats, that they are fighting for it.
When it comes
cats,
to birds, what are you, a lizard?
And a hermit crab. Like, where do you draw the line how emotionally attached you become to a pet?
If you were smart, you'd fight for goldfish.
Yeah, because they're always dying. But that's what I mean. I mean, yes, I believe cats and dogs especially. Horses.
Dogs only, I think.
Dogs only.
Dogs only, eh, Rice?
Yep.
Yeah.
But this is where you come unstuck. The whole thing comes unstuck. Because
don't lure me, Jenny. I'm still trying to get over this maternity leave rubbish. Okay. You had a baby. Get to work. We did.
All right. Finish at that note, Rose.
Okay. Done.
Tanya was on air half an hour after.
Triple M. Tanya and Steve.
I was reading this article over the weekend, mainly on Elle McPherson, but also Liz Hurley, Sandra Bullock, Sarah Jessica Parker, and our own Sonia Kruger were just amongst some of the ladies who were suggesting, well, they're all over 60 and all going,
are they?
What are we, yeah.
Are they all over 60 now?
Yeah.
Wow.
So they're all going, what are we going to advertise now? Because they're quite known faces that get money these days.
And they're all gorgeous women.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And it was just an interesting point because straight away, we're 20, we're at a bar, a 60-year-old, you thought you're just about dead.
Mm.
You really,
yeah,
you know, and then you get up there, and anyone will tell you,
yeah,
it's like, well, no, yeah, the ages and the numbers are there, but I'm, you know, and yeah, you're right, those they all still look great, and not one of them, oh, maybe there's one, maybe two actually in there that have too much work done either,
right? Yeah,
you know, I know Elle hasn't had a lot,
no,
Jessica Parker, not at all,
yeah,
and like, and the guy side of it, right? I give great delight to anyone and saying, you know Brad Pitt, 63,
yeah.
or Johnny Depp, 62. Yeah, yeah. They're in their 60s. George Clooney.
Yeah, what's George Clooney? Would he be 60
late
as well?
Late 60s.
Late 60s, wow. Yeah. Looking fantastic.
That's what I mean. It's this number now when, mm-hmm. you know, you grow into the age, I guess you call
sure.
it, don't you?
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though, what do they sell? They're not going to, you know, go out selling Coke.
No.
Coke's the real thing, gang. Oh, no, I can't have sugar.
Yeah.
I've got the best thing that they could sell.
Coffee.
Oh, they do? Yeah, they sell coffee.
George sells coffee.
What about, like, retirement living? You know, those, like, over-60s little little villages kind of thing?
Yeah, we wouldn't believe it because they got
that.
Too much money.
Literally going to go, I'm not buying that.
Nah, if they're up there telling us to buy into a retirement village, and it's like, why? Because you're in your 30-room mansion with butlers
I'm gullible. I'm like, no, El McPherson just bought the little two-bedroom one,
yeah,
Lucy.
No.
That's where we're going.
This is where we're going. If it's good enough for El, it's good enough for me.
Hi, I sold my mansion to live here.
We get to play little putt-putt golf. There's a little spa.
So the basis of the article was like, El was throwing it out going, I've got to get into my head. Well, I can believably, actually, making.
Market.
Yeah.
Market now. And yeah, I thought we'd make a list if everyone wants to help these poor.
The list.
Poor starving girls.
Okay.
133353. That's the phone number. We need your help.
The starving.
They need your help.
The starving 60 somethings sexpots of the years gone by.
The years gone by. I still reckon they can get away with shampoo.
Yeah.
I know it's grey, but it's still got body.
Okay. So what products can they market? Is that what you think? Believable.
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 133353. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you right now.
Okay.
Because you can... My guess was straight away Botox or lip filler, you know, going, look at me. Look how natural I look.
Yeah, okay. So Botox, lip filler.
Specsavers.
Mm.
Specsavers is a
like
good
glasses.
One.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah.
You could easily see Elle going, I wore contacts for years, but now I'm proud and happy to wear glasses.
True.
Or she's dating a really ugly guy and then she goes, you should go to Specsavers.
Yeah. Yes. I like Jerry's suggestion, anti-aging skincare.
There you are. That's
definitely.
Called Botox.
Luxury cars.
There you are.
Yeah. It works.
I'd believe it if they were advertising different models of luxury cars.
Matthew McConaughey on the male side of it gets away with that one, and he's nearly 60.
There's plenty of opportunities out there for them.
It doesn't surprise you because we just see them all the time, though.
They won't starve.
No, they won't. They'll be fine.
But we see them all the time and think nothing of it. And then when you're like Johnny Depp, you know, 63.
Yeah.
You don't think about it.
Well,
how old would Nicole Kidman be? Would she be in a...
She'd have to be heading there.
Late 50s.
Late 50s. There you go, yeah.
Can I just say, Elle McPherson is advertising something.
What?
And I got sucked into it. She's advertising her own Welco brand, it's called.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether other girls out there have seen the ads because they pop up very regularly on my Instagram or Facebook feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I got sucked into purchasing some of the powder. It's called the green stuff or something like that. And it tastes like swamp water. And you drink it. You drink it every day, 2 teaspoons every day. And I've been doing that. And?
Oh, my
beautiful.
God, it's working amazingly.
Oh, my God.
Note to self, young men, if a woman goes and.
Yeah.
Is that it there, Tanya?
Yeah. Is it the green one?
Yeah, it's the green
the
one.
The Super Elixir?
The Super Elixir pouch refill. Oh, that's the refill, but yeah, you've got that.
That's not the one.
That's not the one.
It's the green stuff.
Okay.
Anyway.
But you drink it?
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
And you can tell it's really working, Steve.
Oh, my God.
Well, what?
Unbelievable.
The nails
gorgeous.
Are working.
Your nails, yeah.
The nails
beautiful.
Are getting stronger.
Oh, I have no words.
No?
No. How am I looking? Because I'm buying George Clooney's tequila. I'm finding it aging me too.
Well, you know, I feel silly because I was completely sucked in because it's Elle.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny.
You've got to let go of that. You're silly from the hand creams. I mean, anything else you try from there, why not?
I got sucked in from George Clooney with the Nespressos because every time I do see it, I go, well, if it's good enough, George, and it looks very fancy and Italian and beautiful.
Yeah.
And then when I have a Nespresso, I'm like, yeah. Just all right.
Yeah.
I've never looked at a celebrity head and go, well, if it's good enough for them.
It's good enough for George, it's enough for me.
Except for that green stuff. I totally understand why you've done that.
Yeah.
Definitely. What did she say it does?
Just you know, makes you feel better, makes you look better, all of the above.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Elle. I'm hanging on to her supermodel days.
Okay.
Yep. Mm.
And the the hand cream, you've recently bought another brand of the hand cream, haven't
Always.
You?
Always.
Yeah, yeah.
Always.
That's your busy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So, well, you started this conversation.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, I'm just interested what, you know, I mean, I feel like an idiot at the moment because I'm having vitamin pills.
Mm.
I think they're like hand cream.
Yeah. Don't do much.
Placebos.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Mm.
Do you find the hand cream works?
I do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so do I. I can see.
Yeah.
Stunning rhymes.
Absolutely. Tanya and Steve, Triple M.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home.
Electra Dry's new rug wash facility in Mayfield.
The most popular entertainment.
We're here to be entertained. That's entertainment.
The E-Spot.
What you got, mate?
Oh, just a report that David Beckham and his wife, Posh, were spotted in Redhead over the weekend.
Were they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I heard that as well.
Yeah.
That was the hot gossip around
that,
my town.
Did you? No, it was in fact Rising and his lovely wife, Lucy, who went yet again to another dress-up party.
It appears you've made the entertainment report,
yeah.
Mate.
First time ever.
I had to bring it up, Steve, because Lucy and I were messaging over the weekend and she said Ryan was loving himself sick with his arm and neck tattoos and wanted to make them permanent.
I was loving myself sick.
Do you love that?
Yeah. I feel bad now. What did I text you?
Steve texted me. He says, if I didn't know you and you had these tattoos, I would believe they're real.
And he said, I'm thinking of getting some midlife crisis.
Midlife crisis, turning 40 this year. I should get some.
Did you think that, T? He looks like someone that would have them.
Yeah, you think I should get some?
No, your wife said absolutely not.
I know. Even last night I said to Liz, I'm like, do you reckon... I should. Do you reckon at 40 years old, it's too old to get my first tattoo and then like
no.
a bit of a sleeve going on?
No, Rise. If you want to be really cool, mate, do the doodle pad thing everyone's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little patchy doodle pad.
Just random things all over you.
Yeah. I'm happy to do that.
And the honest, truly reason that I wanted to link the Beckhams with you and Luce dressing up is because you probably don't follow David Beckham's Instagram, do you, either of you?
No, I don't.
No?
No, only Posh.
Well, I do, and it's so funny because Victoria takes over his Instagram on occasions.
Ah.
She did on the weekend, and all she did was put up a video of him climbing up a ladder in the house to change a light bulb. Really high ceilings, by the way.
Yeah.
Probably 6 metre high ceilings.
Oh, huge.
Huge ceilings, and all he was dressed in was a pair of tight jeans, no shirt. And she puts this video up and writes, "You're welcome, gays and girls."
That is pretty good.
The whole thing exploded with, "Thank you, Victoria. You're making our day."
Because
everyone loves perving on her husband.
Can we get back to the point that maybe he could afford someone to do that for him? I think it might have been a setup. All right, T, you're coming over to my place. I'm going to put a light bulb in. All right?
You're welcome, girls and gays.
There you go.
You're welcome.
That's right. You can stand a fair bit further back.
I do love them, though. I think they're a great couple. Watching the Beckham documentary, they're so funny. Both of them are funny.
Now it's the royal family and the Beckhams.
I've got a problem.
He's out of control, Steve.
Oh, no. I've got to take a good, long, hard look at myself.
I'm speechless.
This is 102.9 Triple M with Tanya and Steve.
I can't get over how many fancy dress parties Rise goes to. It's like, well, how many do you reckon?
Well, we've got the evidence in front of me. All the photos that you and Luce have been to so many fancy dress parties, like 6 of them in the last wee while.
What's going on with your crowd, mate?
Weirdos. We are all hanging out with weirdos. Because I hate fancy. Like, if you said, we're having a fancy dress party, I'd go, oh, don't do fancy dress. They're such a hassle.
Yes.
But my wife, she's the best at, like, she organises my outfits and I just go along for the ride pretty much.
Righto.
But but we do seem to go to a lot of fancy dress parties. Every year we have a New Year's Eve one, which is like a fancy dress, so that's always on the calendar.
Yours are acceptable on my level of, at least they're just there. You all aren't heading out after. That's what I used to hate.
It's like a house party.
Yeah, okay. So you're not trying to get into another pub somewhere dressed as Forrest Gump.
No.
I think the last time I went fancy dress was probably 5 years ago. I'm just remembering the outfits we went as two hippies.
Oh, nice.
With long braided wigs and the full-on outfits that I hired when you could still hire outfits.
COVID
killed that.
You did,
you're right.
Yeah.
Down Adamstown too.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine would be longer.
Mm.
Yeah, what was your last beast?
10.
Fancy dress. Do you remember what you went as?
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Think about it. Yeah.
Well, we're curious because, as we say, Risey and Lewis, it's in their world all the time by the looks of it.
Yeah.
Is it in yours? Is it?
When's the last time you went to a fancy dress party?
Yeah. And what'd you go as? 133353, because I'm just looking through. We've been as Posh and Beck's.
Gone are the days, by the way, as you were reading these out. Yeah. Gone are the days when you'd actually slap it together yourself. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Now you get it online.
Yeah, true.
Pretty much all our outfits have come from Temu as well. Remember, we were talking about Temu the other day?
Yeah.
And they kind of never let us down.
No, they don't.
Yeah, like Forrest Gump, we've got the Ken and Barbie outfit on Temu, off Temu.
Ron Burgundy was my favourite, but Forrest Gump is how we see you.
Yeah.
So whenever we see that.
Steve.
No, I don't know. I look at that photo of you as Forrest Gump, and I go, there's my little mate.
Yeah, there's my Forrest.
Forrest Gump and his girl, Jenny.
Yeah.
I like that outfit, Rise.
Yep.
It's more you for me.
Ron Burgundy.
Ron Burgundy and Lucy went as the Little Mermaid, that because it was like first name starting with.
Well, tell us, when was the last time you went? What did you go as, Darren at Fletcher?
I think about 25 years ago, my wife and I went as Fred and Wilma.
There you go.
Aww.
Classic.
Now, did you hire them or did you make them? Or?
No, we hire the costumes and I suit the profile of Fred.
Did you go barefoot, Darren?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, the full Monty. I love that. Yeah, very cute.
In the footmobile.
Yeah, footmobile. Thank you.
See, obviously, if I was going somewhere, it'd be a Batman kind of thing. If that would, but it's like they're all rubbish outfits.
Mm,
I'm not going out in a pair of black tights.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
Doesn't leave much to the imagination, does it?
No.
Dan's at Broadmeadow. When was the last time you went to a fancy dress, Dan?
It was probably my 30th, so about 12 years ago.
Yeah. And what did you wear?
What was the theme?
That was the movie theme, because I was massive into my movies, still am. I went as Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
There you go.
Very good.
And even went as far as shaving my head for it.
Now, to ask you that, did you do a skull cap, head shave?
Oh, my God.
Full head shave. Yeah. And what I did also was a little mini-me. I just went and got a Cabbage Patch doll and shaved its head and painted it all up.
Oh, that's good.
And just strapped it to my leg.
Oh, I love it, Dan. Nice one.
That was 10 years ago, did you say, Dan?
12 years ago.
Mate.
Okay,
yeah.
So not one since. So, I mean, they're years apart we're talking about.
Yeah.
Rises 2 weeks.
What's happening? I know. What's going on down my way?
Craig's in Newcastle. Last time you did fancy dress, Craig?
Last one was a few years ago at a family party. I dressed myself up in a white sheet, cut some holes in it, and wrote Buddy Holly on the front of it.
There you go. See, bit of creativity, bit of homemade DIY.
I love it. Thanks, Craig.
Now you just get online, look at that. Yeah, I'll be that person, and it just comes to you, doesn't it? How much is it?
I was going to say, how much are the Temu outfits?
So mine, I reckon I spent about $50 all up, like for a T-shirt, like a Beckham T-shirt.
Yep.
I bought some white socks, and soccer shorts, and the tattoos were like $10. So maybe $70 for mine.
That's not cheap, is it?
And Lucy went as
Craig's
posh.
Sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's your dress-up box going?
Certainly better.
You still got your dress-up box?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
I should come around and have a look at it next time.
I was going to say next time. Ask Tanya. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So do you guys like going to fancy dress parties or no?
No.
See, I love it.
Because the joke's over in the first two minutes.
Yeah.
I remember one I did previous to the 5 years ago, went as Leonardo and the Mona Lisa.
Ah.
So we actually did a massive painting of the Mona Lisa, like a life-size one, full-on, properly, beautiful colours, cut the face out, and I stuck my head through. But I had to wear the bloody frame all night.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you get through the door?
That's to go sideways.
Yeah.
Sideways.
It's literally, it's all so that good. Effort and everything for about a three-minute joke.
Yeah. It became old very quickly, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I couldn't sit down. I had to get people to feed me because my arms wouldn't go around the frame.
You couldn't have a drink as well because you couldn't reach to your mouth.
Nah.
So people come in and it's like, oh, you're a bumblebee. Good luck getting to the buffet. So you're right. It's just because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know, I get it all.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. I do love it.
The actual event is like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As you say, first 5 minutes, fabulous fun.
Yeah, everyone's having so much fun. Like, Who are you? Next minute, oh, well. It's dangerous, Steve.
Build better at McDonald Jones with double glazing included in your new home. Turn it up loud, 'cause you're ready.